We'll talk about both the visible structures and the invisible ideologies that supported them. What did governments look like, societies look like, economies look like, and how did people describe them? What did people think they were doing? And we'll compare one time to another, one phenomenon with another. We'll discuss the pagan religious beliefs of people in Mesopotamian Egypt, to a degree of Greece and Rome as well, but essentially our focus will rest on the great Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. These have been formative in the West. We'll ask from time to time, how did people live? How did they earn their livings? What were their manners? What were their customs like? What were their houses like? What were their families like? What did they do with whatever spare time they had? What did they imagine as leisure activity? We'll explore certain key philosophical ideas. Now, we'll try to say something about these philosophical ideas on their own terms and for their own right, so that as we move along, we have a little bit of understanding of what Plato thought, or what a Stoic thought, or what St. Thomas Aquinas thought. But also, and fundamentally, we'll be asking, why did those people think those kinds of things in those places and at that time? Our approach will be that of history. So too, for instance, we'll discuss a number of great works of literature, and the ideas which they expressed, and the forms in which they were presented. In other words, we will appropriately consider them as great works of art. But we're also going to look, and fundamentally we're going to look, at these works of literature as things that tell us two things above all else. More things besides, but two things essentially. When they were made, for whom were they made? Why were they made? Why were they made at a certain time and place? And what can we learn about that time and place from these works? And then, second, who have been the audiences for those works from the time they were produced down to today? Why do they matter? We'll talk about art and architecture, the most visible and public manifestations of the Western tradition. But alongside these concrete issues, we're also going to try to tease out perspectives on certain sort of slightly more thematic, certain more fundamental issues. For instance, we'll try to tease out an understanding of the difference between celebrity and distinction. Think today of how we talk about the currently hot rock stars or athletes or what have you. And ask yourself, how many of these people will, in a decade, still be interesting or important? How many of these people will be in your grandchildren's school books? How many of these people will, in 500 years, be distinguished as opposed to merely famous? We'll explore a little bit, for example, the distinction between values and virtues, between those things that seem somehow irredeemably and always and for everybody true, and the values which are, in a way, the social compacts made at any time, made in any place, and changeable. I can change my values as often as I change my hairdo. Well, perhaps I can't. I haven't got much hair anymore. But if I did, I could change my hairdo quite often. Can I change virtues so often? Can I change virtues so often? What have people thought about that problem? We'll try to understand an issue, as the Greeks put it, the good, the true, and the beautiful. Aesthetics. We'll try to understand the complementary and competing roles of faith and reason. What I believe because it has been revealed to me or told to me, and what I know because I have discovered it. We'll try to explore the competing claims of the individual and the community. What rights have I against those with whom I live? What rights have they against me? So these are some of the basic themes and issues that we'll pursue again and again. They won't all come up in every lecture, but every one of them will come up again and again. We're going to end our course around 1600 AD, when many of the major features of the modern world have come into view, and the essential traditions of the Western tradition have anchored themselves. They have attained a certain kind of maturity. In the first place, two great backward-looking movements, the Renaissance and the Reformation, anchored the past into the present and made the past the way through the present into the future forever for the Western world. These kinds of revivals had happened before, but now it has made an operative dynamic of how we think. Christendom, a uniform Christian society, never fully achieved, but for a millennium an ideal, had by 1600 been permanently riven into Protestant and Catholic communities and cultures with their very different ways of thinking about the world. A set of interlocking power relationships between great nations was in place in 1600, and the diplomatic, and in many ways the military history of the modern world, from about 1600 until the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989, left that great state system in place. By 1600, it's there. And finally, the scientific revolution, emerging in the 16th century, triumphant and regnant in some ways in the 17th, had begun to alter the ancient balance between what people had long called science and what people had long called wisdom. New modes of authority, new places to look for truth, had supplanted long-standing and traditional ways of finding authority and finding truth. Those, then, are the themes, the issues, and the problems that we'll explore in looking at the foundations of Western civilization. To begin building our foundations, we turn next time to Mesopotamia.